Here we go. Yeah. Get up out of bed. Get up. Get up with Tim and Jess. Go. Hit CQ.
Good morning, Central Queensland. It's Tim and Jess here on Hit CQ. Just gone 2 minutes past 6 a.m. Hope you had a good weekend. Back to be here. Excited to be here on a Monday. Sorry. Back to be excited on a Monday.
Back to be excited. I'm also back to be excited, Tim. I'm still reeling after our show on Friday.
Yes.
We just ate ourselves stupid at Say Espresso.
Yeah.
No regrets. It was bloody brilliant.
I did feel full for most of the weekend.
Yeah.
Didn't have to have too many meals.
I could barely eat until Saturday night.
Oh, you poor thing.
Actually, I lie. I had chicken wings at the basketball.
Yes. I absolutely saw you do that. And you also lied directly to my face.
Why is that?
I was like, oh, if there's cabana here at this season launch, I'll be a made man. And you're like, there's definitely cabana on the table. What happened when I went over there, Jess?
There wasn't cabana.
No cabana.
I'm sorry.
Hopefully your Monday can start off better than my Friday ended with betrayal. And I am excited to get into today's show because after 8:30, we are going to be chatting about the most important debut of a rugby league match in the history of Australia.
Yep.
Jessica C. Pantu. I don't know what your middle name is. It's
Marie.
C now. Jessica M. Pantu. Really excited to talk about your first game for the Wallabies here in Gladstone.
Yeah, man. And what a brilliant game it was. I mean, complete shutout. Did they say shutout in rugby? Is that a thing?
You don't need to tell. You're getting too excited.
Okay,
talk about it after 8:30. Also after 7, going to be chatting to Samantha Jade, X Factor, Home and Away. She was Kylie Minogue for a little bit. On a TV show.
She's just released a brand new album. We're going to chat to her about it coming up after 7.
But up next, though, look, it's a beautiful world that we live in, right? Like, like you'd say beautiful people sometimes are a bit more at an advantage in life.
Yeah, I am often at an advantage.
Yes, and it's unfair for people like me. But turns out people like me, who look like a smashed-in pancake, might be receiving a little bit more money. So who's happy now?
Well, that's a straight up lie.
It's Tim and Jess on Hit CQ.
This is the Tim and Jess catch up on Hit.
We live in what is mostly known as a beautiful world, where people that are considered more attractive, and like whatever the scale of attractiveness is, I didn't create it, but beautiful people seem to have life a little bit easier, you'd say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether it's Instagram models, generic models, Facebook models, all these different types of models.
And I were at the basketball on Friday and I was looking at all the players, both men and women.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, they're all very attractive and they're athletic. I bet they've got good personalities too.
Pick one.
Ugh.
You can't have all three. How do you? But it turns out a study's been done that a lot of people think attractive people that are considered more attractive earn more money in their wage.
They're more successful.
They're more successful. Turns out it could not be more the opposite.
Really?
And here's my favourite thing about this study. Not only is it like attractive to unattractive, unattractive is the middle of the three-tiered system. It's attractive, unattractive, very unattractive.
Oh!
So if you are very unattractive, turns out you are more likely to be successful because you've had to work harder in your life.
Look at Donald Trump.
Look at me. Look at me. I look like a signpost that's been hit by two cars. And here I am. Central Queensland Radio. I've made it.
I feel like I'm just in the unattractive category. I'm like one step above you.
Dang it.
Not attractive, but unattractive. Not very unattractive.
Not very, very. So obviously because it opens up that field for you where it's like, all right, well, things aren't going to come easy for me. I've got to work hard. And other people are either go, well, that's my life. Things aren't going to come easy, I'll shut down. But majority of the time people will be like, well, I've got to do the work here. And I'm going to be super rich.
Maybe I am attractive. I've never had to work that hard.
Yes. That is the reason. You're right. Congratulations. You've cracked the study. A+.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
3, 2, 1.
You can do it!
Tim and Jess's 8-week challenge. Thanks to newmanfitnesssystems.com.au for all your group, personal and online training solutions.
That's right, Tim. We're in week one of the 8-week fitness challenge.
Day one. Not week one. Day one.
Well, day one is week one.
Yes, technically. But things kicked off at midnight tonight. We've got food plans. We've got a fitness regime that we're going to be...
sound like a dictatorship.
Undertaking. I'm excited. I've already had my oats this morning. Yesterday I did a fridge throw out. It's time to shine.
I just got a notification from the app. The Newman's Fitness System has an app that reminds you about workouts. And it was like, are you ready for workout day one? And I was like, you need to chill out, Newmans. Yeah. I'm still at work, mate.
This is why I don't allow push notifications on my phone for any app. But I'm excited. And this morning I've had my oats and I'm feeling good, buddy.
Yeah?
I'm feeling confident. I already do a lot of sport throughout the week, so I'm just going to be adding on to that. I think it's going to be quite good. The main thing for me is focusing on the food change, which a lot of people have for their challenges. Like, yeah. I bought salmon yesterday.
Oh.
I've never cooked salmon in my life. I spent 3 hours researching how to cook salmon good, and now I know.
I am absolutely not adding the salmon to my menu. I'm actually going to talk to there is a nutritionist that comes along with the 8-week challenge. I want to talk to her about changing up my entire schedule.
Oh, that's good. You're just completely ignoring the information.
I work different hours to a lot of people. Yeah.
Me and you work different hours as well, so it's hard for us to commit.
You know, I'm not a breakfast person. Is like pretty epic.
I'm not a breakfast person either. How many times out of a year would I eat breakfast, would you say?
Only when you're feeling ill.
Exactly. So I'm committing to 8 weeks of breakfast food because breakfast is the most important meal of the day, kids, if you're listening. Love you.
I've got my first PT session today, so we'll see how that goes. And I'm also just going to just rip into the system. Just like, we need to change this, we need to change that.
Nah, that's how you're meant to approach an 8-week challenge. Good job. At the end of the week, going to do a bit of an update. Well, you're not going to be here because you've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off.
I mean.
Typical. Typical avoiding a challenge again. So
first week is not going to go well for me. No. It is my sister's 21st this Saturday.
Yeah, let's blame it on your sister.
Yeah, it's definitely her fault.
How dare you,
Natalie? How dare she be born?
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on HIT.
And in a moment, we're going to be speaking to our HIT-CQ baby mama, Stacey. But quick reset is that, because it's been going on since February.
Yeah, quickly, get through it.
For a block of caramel chocolate, Stacey has offered us to name her child. We've done that. Now the baby's due in June.
His name is Beau Timothy.
Yes.
And Stacey, I mean, how has little Beau Timothy been?
Awesomely. Everything's going so good. No problems at all.
Oh, awesome. That's good to hear. So we're how many weeks away now?
It'll be 5 weeks tomorrow.
Oh, my God. Wow. This is so exciting.
It does go quick. So the June 5th is the due date, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've been obviously speaking to your doctor. Do we speak to an obstetrician? Is that what a pregnancy does?
I think so.
Oh, nailed it. Do you know what percentage of babies are actually born on the due date? Have you been in that conversation?
Not really, no. I know I was born 3 weeks late. So I was supposed to be in January, but I was born in February.
So there's how have your other kids gone? Were they early? Were they late? Like, where can we be expecting Beau Timothy?
Well, I've only had one other kid myself, and she was actually induced on her due date.
Okay.
But she didn't come until the next day.
You know what, Stacey? So we're secretly hoping that Beau Timothy comes on the 6th of June because that's my birthday. And I'd really like to, you know, share a birthday with little Beau.
Why not?
How are you feeling about the name Beau Timothy? You still set it on it? Like, it was selected by chance on the Wheel of Baby Fortune.
Yeah, no, I'm loving it. My daughter's loving it. Everyone's loving it. It's really cute.
Have you already started, like, nicknames? Like, is BT pretty much a lock or little Boaty?
So far, it's been Baby Bobo.
Baby Bobo.
Oh, that's so cute.
Bobo, yep.
That's good. That's good. Well, it's good to hear you tracking along very well because obviously being healthy is the most important thing for you and little BT. Yeah.
We will have to keep checking in very quickly each week now as we get closer and closer to that due date, Stacey. But we also have a little bit of a surprise.
Can't say much yet.
We'll drop on you next week, okay? So let's have a chat this time next week and we'll let you know what we've got in store up our little sleeves.
Awesome.
All right.
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you very much, Stacey. Our HIT-CQ baby mama. Thanks, mate.
Thank you. See ya.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on HIT.
Tim, do you hate the moment when you're walking along, you might be walking down a trail, you might be just walking down the street, and all of a sudden step in a rogue poop?
Mate, this is a week and a day ago for me.
Yep.
I don't know if I told you. I was at Tanham Sands at the Dog Beach at Canoe Point, and I was leaving. And I was leaving the grass area, and there was two poops that I was aware of. So I kind of triple jumped, like hop, step, jump. Hop and step, completely missed the two poos. I thought I was in the clear. The jump, barefoot, large dog poop.
Oh, that's the worst. How's the consistency on that one?
It felt like I'd stood on a bag of custard. But there was no bag covering the custard. So it's not fun.
And this is what I mean. Like, there needs to be a system where people are more accountable because just having signs up to say pick up after your dog often isn't enough.
No.
And there's a little town in the UK that has designed a new app for poo shaming.
Is it like you geolocate a poop on it in a park?
Essentially, yeah. So you could find a poop and you like locate its location on this app, and within an hour someone is coming to clean it up.
What a crap job. No pun intended, but serious.
I think it's a genius idea.
Yeah, but imagine if you're at the council and they're like, all right, Dennis, your new role that's going to be absorbed in is you've got this computer in front of you, and every time someone says, there's a poop here, guess where you get to go?
It's like the worst bat signal ever.
Yeah. Thanks, Batman. That's not a fun job. Just be more responsible for your pet's poops.
Do you know what they're calling it?
What?
Doo-doo watch.
Doo-doo watch. Yeah. And, like, they would have said it in their pommy, like, a doo-doo watch.
Yep.
Yeah, no, just be more responsible. Like, I've seen at the dog park and at the dog beach, dogs just pooping and the owners don't care.
Yeah.
They just don't give them crap.
I used to walk our friend's dog every afternoon.
Yeah.
And she always did really liquidy poops. Yeah. Like, those ones are hard to pick up.
It is hard to pick up a puddle.
I can't.
I'll admit.
I can't walk around holding like a hose, like spraying down every football.
Well, don't get a dog.
Yeah. Well, I didn't.
Don't walk a dog.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
It was a massive weekend around Central Queensland. It was beautiful weather. And on Saturday, Jess, a massive day for you, hey?
I had my first official debut.
Yep, for rugby league.
For rugby league. Playing for the Gladstone Wallabies. And oh, what a game we had.
Besides, you're obviously going to training and learning the rules of the game. Just learning the vocabulary around the game, like get him on side, ref, is something that you struggle with to get on side.
Yes.
Also, calling it rugby when it's definitely league. You got to say league, mate, otherwise you'll get in trouble.
I've just been calling it footy as a professional footballer now. I can call it just footy.
Unbelievable.
It's one of my new favourite jokes to make.
Yeah.
No, but in all seriousness, I rocked up on Saturday to Marley Brown Oval in Gladstone and I was,
pooing.
Crapping dacks.
Yeah, that's fine, mate. That happens.
I was absolutely, like, we were warming up for the game and I knew that I was going to bench first and I still felt like I was going
to
vomit.
Even when I go to new footy teams, I've been playing since I was 5 years old, I get nervous before I go to a new club because it's like, oh, the pressure. I'm definitely not as good as they think I am.
So about 10 minutes into the first half, the coach goes, Jess, get over here. No, and I was like, oh, God. Oh, God, it's happening. Okay. All right. Okay.
Because you expected, what did you expect, essentially?
I expected to get absolutely destroyed.
Sure.
I expected to break a bone. I honestly thought I was going to get taken out in the first 5 minutes.
You need to chill, homie.
So I get onto the field and the girls, so lovely, so supportive. They were like, Jess, we're going to get you in there. You're going to go for a run. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I think I'm ready. They're like, all you have to do is I'm going to pass the ball off to you.
Yeah.
Just run. Run until you get hit. And I was like, done. I can do that.
Sounds like schoolies.
So my first couple of minutes on the ground, I get a good run, 10 metres.
Good job,
it's the only run I made of the day.
Nailed it.
But I felt so impressed with myself.
One and done is what I always say. Get it over. I'll show you can do it and get out of there.
I saw the photos after the game and in my mind, I looked so much cooler than what the photos are.
I'll actually imagine you think you had like wraparound sunnies and a cigarette and you were just like giving finger guns to everyone.
Honestly,
but no.
I was such a professional. Like, put me in the Australian team. In my brain, that's how good I was. And then I saw the photos and the videos and I went, you have got a long way to go, son.
Well, you won 60-0. Also happened to have Australian recognised and capped player on your team, Chelsea Baker.
Yeah.
That potentially might have helped.
She's the best player on our team. Absolutely.
You're second now. So congratulations. And I was definitely there cheering you on the whole game, buddy.
You made it to the last minute.
I absolutely didn't even catch that. So
thanks for the support, pal. I really appreciate
next
it.
Week.
This is the Tim and Jess catch up on Hit. Trending now at hit.com.au.
The biggest trending stories across Australia and central Queensland. And sadly, over the weekend, the world's oldest person died in Japan.
Japan is the country with the highest life expectancy, so that does not shock me.
Have a guess how old she made it to.
126.
Oh, I mean, a bit generous. 117.
I think, was she the last person reported to be born in the 1800s?
Oh, she was born on August 4, 1900.
See,
so she's the last known person to be born.
I must have been watching an old episode of The Chaser the other day. Because there was definitely that question down there. But that's all right.
She raised 7 sons and 2 daughters and apparently has more than 160 descendants.
Wow.
Currently alive. That's crazy.
She would have great, great grandchildren.
Oh, absolutely.
Hands down.
Great, great, great grandchildren.
No, I think That's too many greats.
Including great, great, great grandchildren.
All right, well, you should share this with me before we go to the air on the radio, but thanks, mate.
She is confirmed to be the world's oldest woman, and apparently southern Japan, very notorious for people just living well beyond 100. Right. So
eat that fish.
Yeah, you need to get some sushi in, yeah?
Let's go. Well, Gladstone has a sister city in southern Japan. What are we all doing?
Do we?
Let's move. Let's go.
Excellent. Maybe this is the sister city. I don't know. I haven't done that much research.
Sakai? How do you spell it?
I don't know. No. Kikai?
All right. Well, this is getting racist real quick. Move on.
You can check out that story and heaps other stories that are trending right now at hits.com.au.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hits.
I'm sure a lot of people caught this across the news on the weekend. It was the biggest story Saturday morning, at least when I woke up, is that there's a blue heeler in Western Queensland that is an absolute hero and will not be defined as anything but that word, mm-hmm. a hero. Max, a 17-year-old blue heeler, has saved the life of a 3-year-old owner. So like the owner's kids.
Yeah.
She went missing on their rural property.
Oh.
Missing overnight. Max, 17-year-old blue heeler, was the reason she got found because he did not leave her side. And the next morning at 8 a.m. was barking and the SES found them both.
Oh,
alive,
it's so
well,
beautiful.
And healthy.
They weren't even that far away from the house.
No, but a 3-year-old's quite small.
Absolutely. And he stayed with her for like, what, 16 hours?
16 hours through the night and in Western Queensland. It gets cold some nights out there. So this dog, like, unbelievable. Like, I know you always hear stories about animals with babies and how they're so much more gentle. But, like, I know for a fact if this was my dog, she would have been like, no, I'll stay with him. And then she would have seen a bird and been like, see ya. I've got some business to attend
to. Dogs are really strange around babies, especially when they, like, grow up with the baby.
Yeah.
Super protective.
Yeah.
And super protective.
Like, I don't know more of a good dog than Max. I don't know if you can give a medal to a dog.
Do you know what? They made him an honorary police dog.
Good, because Max is a hero and he deserves that. So it's great to see that Aurora is safe and well, and that man, he would be getting schmackos left, right, and center.
Give the kid just any food he wants.
Make him the ambassador for schmackos. That'd be a great idea. Good on you, Max. You're a good boy. You're a good boy.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hits.
Tim, we are so lucky now to be joined by Samantha Jade.
Yeah, X Factor.
Just dropped her brand new album on Friday. You probably know her from X Factor.
Yep.
She was also on Home and Away.
She's also a Kylie Minogue imposter, I believe.
Yes. Samantha, thank you so much for joining us today. How did you come about? How did this disco-inspired album come to be?
You know what? It was so much fun. The idea kind of came to me to do disco, and I've always loved disco and what it represents and how much fun it is, and also how girl power that era was, you know, with all these incredible female, you know, artists that were just like Diana Ross and Donna Summer and just, you know, some of the best performers of our time. So I took it on and I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have fun and kind of pay homage to some of them as well.
What was the sort of catalyst? Because you've been making some music for some time now. And what made you go, this is the time for disco. It's disco time.
It's disco time. You know what? I wanted to do something fun. That was the only thing I knew that I wanted to do. Like, I, of course, knew that I had done the record before Nine, which was very emotional, and it was about my mum and my family and all that we'd been through with that, and obviously a really tough time for us. And I wanted this record to be a departure from that and just be fun, and we're all in a much better place, of course, now. So that was kind of the brief. What can I do that's fun? And then this came about, and I was like, oh, great. This is fitting.
So you've been working on this album for a while now, and you've been a very busy lady in the last couple of years, not only doing some incredible acting roles, you were amazing in the NXS movie, by the way,
thank you.
You've also released your own cosmetics line. I mean, you're just go all the time, aren't you?
I know, yeah, it's a bit like that. But I'm so lucky that I get to, you know, still work in music as well. That's a big thing these days, to still kind of be around, you know. And it's been 6 years since X Factor, which is crazy to think. I love doing my cosmetics range. I love makeup. So I just kind of, you know, I always just do what I love to do, and I'm very lucky that I get to do it.
Now, Samantha, our final question for you, and look, it's a strange one. I'm just going to be very straightforward with you. We ask every single guest we have on the show. We asked our Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull just last week. It's didn't stay with us. Don't hang up. Do you know Keith Urban?
Like, personally?
Like, have you met him?
Do you know anyone that knows him? We've been trying to get Keith on the show for 69 or
almost 70-something days.
70-something days now. And not even our Prime Minister could get us onto him. So we thought maybe...
I wish I could help you. I absolutely love Keith Urban. Like, I don't know him, but I absolutely love him. He just seems like the nicest person ever.
Well, if we ever get him, we'll put him in touch with you, if that's all right.
You guys can hang out.
Can you please call me if you finally get him on there?
Yeah, well, we really appreciate your time. Samantha J there. Your album was dropped last Friday, Best of My Love. Thank you very much. Make sure you buy it, stream it, however you can get your hands on it. Thank you very much, Samantha Jade.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you.
This is the Tim and Jess Catch-Up on Hit.
Last week, a lot of kids around CQ went back to school on the Tuesday, I believe it was, and it's a big time. And I was speaking to my sister, who's a teacher, and she was like, well, it's kind of great because I have my 2 weeks of holidays, which I can kind of get stuff done at home. And then I'm pretty sure her first week back, she went straight to school camp.
Oh.
So it was kind of like 2 weeks to sort of get your things sorted, one week of pain. Let's go to a remote service of buildings with a giant flying fox.
See, my best mate, Kate, it's her first year of teaching, and this term she's going on her very first school camp.
Look,
and she's a bit nervous.
Yeah. Oh, well, essentially, instead of just being a teacher for the 7-8 hours of the day that you normally are, you're a 24-hour teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Because kids have problems all day long, not just when you're there now. And it got me thinking, because she was telling me about some stuff that was going on, it got me thinking about school camps when I was a kid. I didn't go on too many, but when I did, it seemed like everything just unraveled for me.
I went every year.
No, man, we just went...
From year two onwards.
All right. Someone went to a good school. I grew up in country Victoria. us just getting to like going to the city was like, a highway. but like, I remember year like nine camp, I had a broken fingers or a broken thumb. And there was like one where you're on like a floating box with a rope and you pull yourself across like on a rig from one side of the dam to the other.
Tuples in,
I fall in. Cast is plaster, obviously. That's falling apart. Then it's like also minus 10 degrees. And I'm rushed upstairs by the art teacher, who has no first aid training, put into a shower with scalding water to sort of heat me back up. And then had to go home early because my cast had melted. So my mum had to do the like 3-hour drive to come to the middle of nowhere to come and get me.
Okay, so I never had a bad school camp like that.
Yeah. Also, excursion, went to a poo farm.
My God, what school did you go to?
Just a real good one. Well, I'm pretty smart, eh? And it got me thinking on 13, 12, 16, like what went wrong at the school camp? Because it happens. Clearly, I don't know if you were going to, I assume, just like the cushion factory.
I honestly can't
Privileged town.
I mean, other than year nine camp, we went to Tasmania from Melbourne.
What?
Yeah. And we went on the Spirit of Tasmania. It was like really rough and a few people got sick, but that was... I mean, that's just the Spirit of Tasmania. That's not the camp's fault.
No.
It was a good week in Tasmania.
The furthest I went was year 11. We went to Central Australia, like to Alice Springs.
Oh, well, that's
Uluru.
A good one.
That's a good one. Yeah, but Jackson fell down the mountain at the Olgas. broke his leg. So 13, 12, 16. What went wrong on school camp? Because it always just seems
like your
to
school
be...
was just a death trap.
Look, it's not that good, but we're moving forward with it. 13, 12, 16. What went wrong on the school camp? Give us a call. On 13, 12, 16, we have been talking when things go wrong at school camp. Because
it turns out your school was just a death trap.
Well, I just remembered. Grade 5 camp, we went to like a place where you go, it's like a gold mining like fake town. We went there and we were like panning for gold in the set up rivers, whatever.
Is that the one in Ballarat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're doing that. And I think it was the first year that this got introduced in a lot of schools. You had to wear a wide brim hat during recess and lunch.
Sure.
And on excursions, we had to wear the wide brim hats. And I used to curl mine up, kind of like a cowboy hat. It was really cool. and I lost my hat. And I was devastated. And I went up to my teacher in tears going, Mr. Mace, I've lost my hat.
And he said, get over it.
And literally, he was like, I don't have time for this. And he was my favourite teacher until that day. And I still never found that
And then
hat.
They just found you one big giant red blister at the end of the camp.
Exactly. But we have been asking on 13, 12, 16, what went wrong on the school camp? We've had Michael from Rockhampton call through. Michael, what went wrong on your school camp?
Thankfully, it wasn't just me on my own. but like a whole heap of us got food poisoning, but I had a very public spew on school camp.
I'm very lucky that I don't think I've ever experienced proper food poisoning.
Oh, you don't want to, son. You absolutely don't
want
to.
Let alone being a teacher with like 30 kids with food poisoning.
Yeah, Michael, did the teachers get food poisoning too?
The teachers got away with it pretty well. It was just every now and then, just like at breakfast, you know, those long tables and some kid just randomly spews back in their bowl.
What a school camp.
I like to imagine the teachers in their own, like, teacher cabin with, like, real food that's not that school camp, like, sludge. And they're just like, I don't know why none of us got sick. But, yes, that would have been a fun experience for you. So thank you very much, Michael.
Yeah, no worries.
No worries, mate.
Again, taking me back to your nine camp, just on the spirit of Tasmania.
Oh, jeez.
Just, like, 20 students sitting up in, like, 4 a.m. just all spewing off the side of the boat.
What a way to experience first class, hey?
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on HIT. Trending now at hit.com.au.
The biggest trending stories across Australia and central Queensland. And, hey, if you're like me, you probably woke up on Saturday morning to the news of Avicii passing away.
Now, there wasn't a lot of information, unfortunately, coming through. Terrible circumstance. Only 28 years old, the Swedish DJ.
A lot of people thought it was a hoax at first because it just didn't seem real.
But he did a few years ago. I think it was 2016. He retired from touring, which is essentially a DJ's life, for health issues. But he never specified what those health issues were.
Well, 800 shows, more than 800 shows, had taken an absolute toll on him over the few years.
I know that from interviews that I've read that he wasn't really about that DJ party lifestyle. Like, he didn't like the alcohol, the drugs.
It gave him a bit of anxiety. Like, the lifestyle was very, he was always anxious, and he had several health scares.
Yeah, essentially, because he just used to like to make music. Essentially, that's what he would love to do, but then he understood that touring was a massive part of it, but it seems like it's unfortunately contributed to his early death.
A lot of tributes pouring in over the weekend, Tim. Of course, the second weekend of Coachella was on, so a lot of his mates were paying tribute to him. Kygo ended his set with an Avicii tribute. He played his 2017 song, Without You. And he said at the end of the set, look, it's devastating news. Avicii was my biggest musical inspiration. He was the reason I started making electronic music. So I don't think I'd be here on this stage tonight if it wasn't for him, which was a beautiful tribute.
Yeah, but it is terrible news. And hopefully some more light can be shed on exactly what happened very soon.
Absolutely. And you can check out that story and many more that are trending right now at hit.com.au.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on HIT.
A poor lady in the UK, like many people, does her grocery shopping online.
Yes.
Which is quite handy for those people. They don't have a lot of time to sort of go to the supermarket, walk through the aisles and grab all their food. It's like click and collect. Click and pay.
The last time I sprained my ankle, I actually did click and collect.
Any reason for you to eat?
I could have walked through the shops. Yes.
You could. You just didn't want to.
I mean, it's a lot of effort on crutches.
It is. and this poor lady, so she wanted to buy 11 bananas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone through the system and she checked out looking a bit funny because obviously your credit card's connected up to it. So she processed the order. She looks at the fee and the order is well over $1,800.
What?
For shopping. And she's like,
what did she buy?
She's looking, like, going through the itemized listing. She's like, all right, well, your berries, that's normal. Like, $2 is this. Bread, $3.50. 11 bananas, $1,700.
Oh my God.
The computer had miscalculated banana and charged her $1,700.
Oh my God. Wouldn't you die?
Luckily, her bank thought, this smells a bit fishy to us, and they cancelled the payment and didn't let it go through. But she said she was prepared to go on and obviously fight it, but also have the conversation with her 7-year-old daughter going, eat these bananas and enjoy every single bite.
They are worth,
because
their,
they are worth their weight in gold. And on 13, 12, 16, I love it. How much did you accidentally get charged? Because I know you worked in a system where you were
I was on
the
other side. Yeah. So when I used to work at a dance school as their receptionist, and a lady came in to pay for her dance fees, and I accidentally overcharged her by $40. And
that's
so
not too bad.
I went to refund her, and I charged her again another $40.
Oh, no.
So at that point, I'd overcharged her $80, and she was like, can someone else do it, please?
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I used to get when I used to sell doors as a rock and roll lifestyle before my radio career kicked off, I was processing one of my final orders at this company I was working at, selling doors and moldings. And the order...
And moldings. You've never thrown that one in before.
Look, I'm proud of the moldings. The the order was meant to be for $17,000 worth of equipment. It was like fitting out a retirement home. Yeah. I accidentally charged him $1,700. So luckily I sent another invoice to correct it.
The retirement home's going, oh, we got what a that
deal.
Cheap.
What a deal. Must be those mouldings. But 13, 12, 16, give us a call. How much were you accidentally charged?
Mm.
Did it go? Either way is funny because you can get like, say if you wanted to buy like a Ferrari and they accidentally charge you like $300,000 less for it. I ain't bringing that up.
No one's questioning that one.
13, 12, 16, give us a buzz. And on 13, 12, 16, we have been asking, did you get accidentally charged? Poor woman in the UK got charged $1,700 for 11 bananas.
Ouch.
I know that sometimes the seasons can get rough and dry. But that is a fair amount per kilo.
You'd really want to make the most of those bananas, right?
Oh, mate, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It is. And again, I know you laugh at this also. It reminded me of my sushi t-shirt from America that ended up costing me $270 because the restaurant we were at, I was a really big fan of it.
Yeah.
They kept trying to, their end, they thought the process wasn't going through, so they charged me three times mm-hmm. $90. $270, so it's the most expensive t-shirt in the world.
It's not even a good t-shirt.
Someone was like, you wear that a lot. And I was like, I'm trying to get my wares out of it. Yeah. It cost me $270.
You need to wear it for the rest of your life now.
I'm still making up for it. But we've had Carol from Gracemere call through on 13, 12, 16. Carol, how much were you accidentally charged?
Okay, so I bought some DVDs off the internet.
Okay.
Oh, yeah?
They ended up being pirated.
Yeah. Oh.
And I paid nearly $200 for them.
What did you buy?
The 90210, the very, very old one.
Why would you?
Carol.
Are we talking like all the seasons? Isn't there like six seasons of 90210?
Yes, yes. So it was a book set.
And what did you actually receive?
They were all in, you know, like the CD dividers. And
yeah.
Oh. In one of them.
Wow. So someone's illegally downloaded,
yep.
created DVDs, and then charged you $200 for them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that was their intent, not yours.
Ouch.
But it's still not super fun. But thanks for your call, Carol.
Thanks, guys.
No worries.
That one hurts. Like, imagine getting that in the mail and going, oh, this is what I've paid for.
Yes. Well, 90210, they're both disappointing. Whatever you
How
get there.
How dare you.
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on HIT.